Call the meeting to order. Could everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner Roy Davis.
Here.
Vice President Jan Barbitz.
Here.
President Andy Christian.
Here.
Treasurer Roger Thompson.
Here.
Secretary Andy Martin is not here.
Can I have an approval of the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbitz?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes. Can I have an approval of the minutes for the special meeting Friday, January 5th, 2018?
I move to approve the minutes from Friday, January 5th, 2018 as revised that were presented to us the last version.
I'll second.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbitz?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes. Can I have an approval of the minutes for the special meeting Tuesday, January 9th, 2018?
I make a motion we approve the amended minutes, corrected minutes for January 9th.
I'll second.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbitz?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes. I have, I believe, two agenda-related public comments. The first is from John Merrington. Says, anything that's addressed, could you please come forward and state your name so that the reporter picks everything?
All right. Well, my name is John Merrington. I'm a commercial fisherman here. I drive a 97,000-pound boat almost every day. It don't stop real quick, and it don't go real fast. But there's a boat. I park next to the Warrior 2, and if he's not there, the Pacific Hooker's there. And I want to say the boat's name is Blackjack or something to do with cards. Okay? When you pull out in the morning to get around the anchor on them boats, I don't think I got much room between here and Roy to get my boat through there. I pay a lot of money in insurance. I think it's an accident waiting to happen. I told the guy, hey, go talk to the port today. And he says he has. Okay, the Coast Guard, he said, ran into his boat at one time. It's called the Blackjack, I think is the name of the boat. The guy was a great guy. He never got upset. But I honestly think with the big boats, that right away coming in and out of there, you got the dynamic, you got the, you know, the Yaznak, all of us big boats, it don't take much and we're going to have a claim, and it's not really his fault or our fault. That's, you know, there's not a lot of room.
I would like for you to visit the port office and speak with our interim manager. That's something that she would deal with versus the board doesn't get involved in the day-to-day
decisions. The guy you fired? I already talked to him, and he said, yeah, he was going to take care of it, but he's not here no more.
Well, he actually is on administrative leave, and so in the interim, if you could come in and speak with Ms. Hall, that would be really good.
Okay.
Thank you. Larry Newton, yearly launch fees for sport fishermen. Could you please come up?
Hi, my name is Larry Newton, and I'm from Brookings, up here on Demoss Road. Sports fishermen, we launch our boat, and we pay a $5 launch fee, or whatever you want to call it. But then, over the past couple of years, the price keeps going up, up, and up. And we only sport, for the sport fishermen, we only go out sometimes 20 times a year, depending on the weather, depending on the fishing. $150 is way too high a price to be paying for a yearly fee for one. Other places like Crescent City and other places are like less than $90 a year. And it should be based on how many times a sports fisherman can go out, bases a yearly fee. That's what I've got to say about it.
Thank you. Financial review and manager's report.
Yes, I have a question of financials on page one of the P&L. Why is the boatyard so way down from last year?
Just the number of vessels. We haven't hauled a boat out in probably almost 2 months. I mean, been very, very little in the boatyard, which means that there's probably a lot of boats out working, which is good for them, but that's a direct result. We haven't hauled any boats out.
I mean, it's way.
There's not one boat in our yard that's paying for anything right now. So
these were the January financials. We asked some questions, and I think we all got an email with some answers, and I would move to approve them.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes. And the manager's report?
You want me to read it?
If you'd like. Is it in the public's packet?
Yes.
So my first day at work was February 7th, and I'm happy to say that I met most of the people that have leases with the ports, the businesses here in the complex. I went to the coffee shop 3 times and finally met Cindy when she came to, when she came to the office. I still have yet to introduce myself to Kyle. Then looked over a few of the leases as I had contact with the leaseholders. And I didn't call in advance to get the meeting with Kelly at Harbor Sand, but she was gracious enough to let me in, and we talked for about a half hour to get some understanding of the situation that some of our port leaseholders have with Harbor Sand. And then I spent way too much time talking and then finally settled down to more listening.
Thank you. All right, old business. Well, we've got an operational report here also.
Do you want me to read it?
Or talk about it?
Yeah, I don't think we need to read it, but I do have some questions.
Okay.
Ask away.
So on the OSMB launch ramp, you have a good grip on what we need to do? Because I just looked at these and there's a fair bit going on.
Yes, what I'm asking is that we don't have a public hoist. We have approximately 37 smaller boats that sell fish to Pacific harvesters. And with the grant that OSMB for the launch ramp and that transit dock, the rules are well-defined and there is no commercial unloading of any fish on those docks whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I would like to do though is that our port ordinance, the way I understand it, says that there's no commercial unloading on our docks. Is if we temporarily define an area, you know, it's work that we're gonna have to do with some of the fishermen, because some of the boats range from, you know, the Equinox is one to, you know, 26 foot sport boats. So there's a little bit of work, but before I go through that, it's a policy and I need to know if you guys are willing to you know, humor the fact that we don't have any place for them to unload, and it would be really, I believe it would be really good for us to possibly lift that until a public hoist is in place that they can use. It's a problem that's been addressed. It's the only way that I can find is if we can allow them to unload their fish on our docks without having a public hoist. And again, once the public hoist is in place, you know, then obviously the agreement would be terminated and they would have to use that dock. But we have 37 vessels that's on Russell's list, so that's a lot of boats to try to, there's probably gonna be two defined areas to unload just due to draft depth in places that are port, so.
All right, so to clarify, as I understand it, this page in our packet is from our ordinance?
Yes.
It doesn't say no commercial unloading, it says no commercial unloading without a permit, is that correct?
Yes, we do have permits available for the sale of those boats.
And so what you're proposing is areas other than those covered by OSMB, we're not gonna infringe on OSMB, you're gonna find some other dock areas, you're gonna issue some permits.
Because our docks are not part of an OSMB grant. Right. We don't have restrictions on our docks other than our port ordinance.
Right, so we need to comply with our port ordinance is my opinion, but if we issue a permit, I think we're in compliance with our ordinance. And I think that's what you're proposing. And we need to make sure we stay off the OSMB restricted.
I wouldn't say necessarily a permit is what I'm hoping to get out of this is, you know, when we have a public hoist, you know, we'll have a fee or a rate, you know, for that.
Mm-hmm.
But for these smaller boats, there's nothing that says they can't pull their boat out on a trailer and sell their fish to us. There's nothing that says they can't do that. And is what that's running me into is that, you know, some boats can do it by pulling their boats out, some can't. So just as an in general thing, until we have a public hoist, if we make a designated area for these boats to unload at, that's on our docks, that doesn't require the 37 boats that Russell has to purchase $150 permit, each one of them, to produce that permit because we don't have a public hoist. And that's just how I'm seeing it, and that's the rules that we have, the only way we can do any unloading.
What would they pay to use our hoist?
That is a part of I'm not sure. I would have to look at our reads, I'm not sure.
We don't have anything in our policy on that, Jim, for the public hoist use.
Well, when we did have one, what were the fees? That's something we
fishermen used to have a hoist.
Excuse me.
The way it was set up was that port personnel ran it. There was a poundage fee charged. We ran into a lot of trouble with that with other receiving docks and undercutting their business by doing that. Mm-hmm. And right now, we don't have the port staff to manage the unload of anything on our rates. So in the future, what I see us doing is we need to go, Coos Bay has this system that you go to their office, they have a card, you pay for the time you want to use it, and then they can go out, they swipe their card, and that's the allotted time they're allowed to use it for. And that's the type of system that I think we should go to, unless at some point we can afford more staff, more manpower to oversee it. But having a public hoist that we can manage by a card, I think, will be a better way to go. But there's a lot more planning, a lot more that has to go into that.
Well, we're a long way from a public hoist. And since we are getting ready to go into the reviewing the rates, I would like to see us address possibly a permit for unloading.
Yeah, I do not believe the board has the authority to waive part of our ordinance. We can go through the ordinance process, which is a lengthy, detailed process.
In the rest of this, the way I see it, the requirements and conditions for such permits and licenses shall be prescribed in separate instructions as prescribed from time to time by the resolution of the Board of Commissioners.
Right, which means what I'm saying is we could have a simpler, cheaper permit. I think that's what I'll be.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
To allow this, but unless we go through the ordinance process, we have to adhere to the ordinance, which says they have to have some kind of permit.
Okay.
So.
Instruction on, I guess, on how you would like it go.
I don't know.
And how would you guys like, so, because I want to be able to present some to you guys on the next meeting, like, so go at it as a, we need every vessel to have a permit. And how should I go about it?
I'd like to see some comparisons from other ports to help us. And, you know, we're just now tonight starting our rate process. So that's something that we can consider as a board. And that could be something that you could email even to us.
Okay.
So this would be a sort of a more limited permit that would just permit unloading.
And the list that I have defines what they're unloading, you know, what each vessel is unloading to them. And again, when we do this without having a public choice, each product could result in us having to come up with an area that best fits their needs. You know, if they're trying to unload two salmon, that's a lot different than, you know, a bunch of rockfish or their crab right now. So it leaves a lot that we're gonna have to, but it's us working with the fish to try and give them a spot, but it is gonna be kind of open-ended given the product that they're gonna be trying to unload.
So why does the board not have the right to revise a port ordinance?
We can revise it. We have to go through the ordinance process, which is you have to write it, you have to have the two hearings, and then you can vote on it.
But that's not what Travis is asking. What Travis is asking is for a very temporary exception.
Right, like what are they doing now?
Well, I think that's what we're trying to give him in the rate, during the rate process, is come up with a permit fee so that this can be done in one or two locations.
You know, one of the locations that Russell came up with over there was a crab dock on the other side of the, you know, because there's not traffic over there to speak of. It's not used very much. If you put it over here on this side, you got, in the summertime, you'll have a Saturday market and parking problems all the time. And that ramp is pretty, not real steep, it seems, to these ramps. Maybe it's just,
whatever. It's a brand new, it's a longer ramp than the rest of them, but not as steep.
So what the ordinance actually says is no commercial use of facilities, including the sale of fish from the vessels, shall be allowed unless a permit has been granted. So when we have a commercial boat in our moorage, we give them, there's a fee for a commercial boat, right? Mm-hmm. Could we just say that fee includes the right to unload at those, because they already have, that's a permit already, right? That they have to be a commercial fisherman here, $50 or something?
It's $150.
No, that's the sale. I'm not talking about the sale from the, all right. Oh, it's a charter license. There's a charter license of 50.
But that has nothing to do with this.
Well, we could add it to the charter license, but I don't think they're the ones that care. But, okay, it's just a charter license. So how does this?
May I interrupt for a moment?
Sure.
the way you're going about it, I do believe that there isn't a commercial fisherman that takes his boat and unloads to BC, Bandon Pacific, Bornstein, or Hallmark that has to pay a fee to sell to their buyer.
Right.
So what you are asking, what I hear you asking, is that you want the boats like what Danny Frazier has to now have a fee to be able to unload his, to have that permit, to now be able to get his product to his buyer.
Well, that's not what I want. That's what I was thinking this.
That's what the ordinance is telling us that we need to do.
But I think it's not. I think we're misreading it. And I think Kathy's right. No one else is paying a unload fee, and they're doing the same thing.
So a permit without a fee.
The permits are for the boats that are tied in their slips, that are selling off of the boat, not taking product up the dock.
Yeah.
That's what the permit's for. It's not anything about unloading a fish. It's for the sale of the product off the boat. That's what those permits are for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this is, I mean, because otherwise every vessel that does anything commercial in our port has to have a commercial permit, and that's not what we've been doing. That's not the case. That's what we're hearing. That's
correct.
That, I mean, that's what I read it, but that's not been the practice, and I assume that's not what the intent was when it was written, because nobody's ever implemented
it. Like you said, as simple as just issuing a permit.
Well, I think maybe Roy and Kathy are right.
It gets us a temporary pass just to allow the individuals, you know, they'll have to come in, they'll have to sign a list, and it will have to mean that we need to monitor, you know, we need to oversee make sure it's happening where we're wanting it to happen. Because the downside of what I'm saying and what we're going to have to work around is exactly what Roger said. We have, the sport basin isn't always going to be an option. You know, the kite field site isn't always going to be an option. So when we do that, we just need to make sure that we're doing a permit that where they can sell off our docks on a temporary basis. And we'll have to figure out some language on as far as where locations go.
So do you want a permit?
A permit, if that's what it takes if we don't need a permit and you just want me to make an agreement with each vessel for a temporary waive of that, but I think is what Angie's getting at is to stay within this rule of, you know, you need a permit, we'll issue a permit, there's just not going to be a charge associated with the permit.
Well, it doesn't really look, I'm revising my opinion. I don't think that's what this means.
The permit was originally designed, I agree with Kathy, originally designed from the tuna boats come in and they want to sell tuna off the boat and stuff like that. That's what the permit was originally designed for. It wasn't designed for the guy in the small vessel that's out there bottom fishing and selling to Russell or somebody else. I know for years at Terabessi he used to sell to Smokehouse. He had to take his fish up through the dock somehow.
And I understand that. And if I'm misreading the rules, that commercial people can unload their boats on our dock and take it up our ramp. But tell me if I'm misreading it. But the way I understand it is that the commercial use of it, by taking something up the ramp in your commercial boat and you're going to sell your product, you're still commercially, you're still using our dock. I mean, it basically is cutting out the reason we have unloading places and stuff, and so, you know, it can be monitored. We have people that buyers that pay a place to unload, and it's the downfall that we have is we don't have a public course, or these 35 boats would be paying all the same. Okay.
So could we, as a board, direct Travis for now to just create an area for unloading the small boats that go, say, to Russell or to Smokehouse or Blue Water Cafe or the Black Trout, a number of places that consume our fisherman's product in this town, could we just direct him for now until we can either revise this, study it, committee it somehow, just an area down here for now, no permits, just a place to unload their catch. So it's not like this is a LA 5 o'clock traffic time thing either.
I think that's what we need to do, but I also think we need to keep in our ordinance if they're going to flay the fish on the boat and sell it to them, and they come in, especially tuna season, then they need a permit.
If they're selling off the boat, correct? Absolutely. Yeah.
That rule will stand. It's the people that are, you know.
Find a place for them.
To Russ. Thank you.
Thank you, Travis.
What?
Okay.
John?
Do you think?
I'd like to put my 2 bits in on this. All right. I pretty much run from Morro Bay to Canada. Almost hit every port. I leave here usually in May. Don't bring the boat home until October. This little fishing thing that you're talking about right now, my boat, I have to have a $200 bond. I have to have a $400 license in order to sell anything off the boat, whether it's any one of us in the room. I have to have that. Okay, my feelings about your little permit, if any boat out of Brookings has the opportunity to sell to the local community, I would think it would be in the best interest of our port to allow them. So they've already paid basically $600 just to get it off the dock. Okay, me myself, I have brought salmon boats with me from Coos Bay down here, and I know this is wrong time, but it's like a pissing match between Ted and Mike Manning and myself. Okay, you come in here and you pay a dollar more a gallon for the fuel and a buck less a pound for your product. Okay, so they come out with the permit. We're already paying 2 permits in order to sell to you, Roger, or any one of you. That's what the commercial fishermen have to do. Well, then you're going to go ahead and do this other permit, whether they want to sell to the smokehouse or Matt, whoever, all right? And it's just like, well, me, I blast freeze everything 34 below zero now. I completely quit selling off the boat just because of this penny-ante stuff, okay? When you guys got a guy coming in and selling 12 or 15 snapper at a time trying to make ends meet, and then the guy that you're gonna charge him so much a pound or I've gotta have this, what's it take 3-5 minutes to unload a dozen fish? But why all the politics in it? The state of Oregon's already charging all of us a lot of money for the same permits. Now you want a piece of it, and it's like, God, if you could just help all of these guys put more into our community. You know, this was caught out of the Port of Brookings Harbor. But the more permits and paperwork that you guys go through, it's just like, man, it just gets hard sometimes. People give up, and it's very aggravating.
But I think, John, what you heard the board though tonight is no permits, a designated area.
They already bought a permit from the state of Oregon in order to sell off the boat no matter what.
Right.
Now, Travis's idea about the little debit card, I walk into the port office, hand them $20, I get a little debit card. Mm-hmm. You put it in a machine, it goes up and down the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. We do it up and down the coast, all right? It ain't hard, but the stuff about, oh, you need a permit here. I don't care if you go to El Waco, you go to Newport, you go to Coos Bay. I don't have to go buy a permit to take stuff off the boat. I mean.
Right, and once we get a public hoist, that's where I'm going to present. And I think it's for a place where you don't have the staff to do the process that we were doing before, is the cart. If you need it for 3 to 5 minutes, you know, and we have a public hoist, that's where we need to unload the fish. And it might be, but there's not going to be a permit. We just want you to pay for the 3 to 5 minutes. It might be, I don't know how much it costs. But if it's the $20 for 10 minutes, then, you know, those are the steps we're going to have to go through. But our goal is to not to have, I don't want you guys to have to permit. We don't want to all that extra to happen. The permits that we're selling right now are, I think, a necessity, and I think they are a thing that we need. There's a handful of boats that use our dock for the sale of their fish. Now, I understand that you guys spend a lot of money on a lot of different things through your whole process of fishing. The port, our goal is not to keep putting it to you guys. We just have to be able to cover what we have. And if somebody's using our facility to make money, that's what that permit is for. But if you guys have buyers, that's why our main goal is to get you guys a public hoist. It's a big, we have 37 boats, just to one buyer.
Okay, I'm gonna interrupt here for a minute. We're getting a little off subject.
I think
the board has decided and we need to move on. Thank you. So we're gonna go to old business, budget officer.
Move to appoint Kim Boom, budget officer.
I second.
Roger, Roy was first.
Okay.
That was a race.
Commissioner Davis?
Any discussion?
Yes, not up to me.
Okay.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes. All right, budget committee.
Do you have the list?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, Danielle typed it up for us.
And you're still on that list, so we're gonna need one more person from the public.
Because you checked with everyone and everyone is coming back, okay.
It sounded like John Brazil would prefer to be replaced. So I guess we should say we have two openings, and then if only one gets filled, John will stay in.
They've always been advertised in the paper before.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I would like to see is an ad in the paper. And I think we're supposed to appoint them at the next regular meeting, the March regular meeting, so.
We need to stagger them. I've never seen it all come up the same dates.
Yeah.
So we'll get that in the paper, and we do have an application available in the office. Is there one on the website?
And let's invite who's ever here that's not already on the board, because I see at least one that is, on the budget committee. We do need at least one and preferably two budget committee members, and we sure encourage our engaged public to apply.
All right. Port rates.
Travis, on page 1 of 6, do some of these things need to be taken off of the list?
Like what?
Well, we don't have a backhoe. Is a hydraulic crane, is that the...
We don't have any cranes.
What?
We don't have any cranes. We need to obviously update that.
Yeah, so we're using the telehandler for some of what the crane did?
All of what the crane did.
All right, so, yeah. We can staff, you can provide a proposal to update that portion?
Yeah. We'll just go through the whole rates and we'll highlight anything that we changed to make it current and present that to you. Does that work?
And is add the telehandler?
Add it.
I hate to even bring this up, but I think it has to be discussed. On page 3 of 6, last year, watching from the audience last year, there was a lot of discussion about the difference between the sport and the commercial rates, and it looks to me like it's about a 17% discount for commercial and charter at this time.
You know, last year we hit the rates pretty hard. We got a lot of our leases up to date, and they all have a COLA clause in them already, all the leases that we got up to date finally.
I don't think the moorage has a COLA clause.
No, we're talking about the moorage, not leases.
This is page 3 of 6, which is the mortgage.
What I remember from last year is the previous board didn't want to jump in and raise everything all at once. They wanted to do it in smaller steps to get them to where they're equal at some point, but they weren't going to do it all in 1 year or even 2 years. They were going to go slowly, is what I remember from last year.
That's what I recall as well.
I have something to say about the commercial mortgage. There are people in our community that think that we, the port, is subsidizing the commercial mortgage rates. And I'm here to tell you that if it were not for the commercial poundage that comes across the bar, we would have no dredging. Absolutely none. And that's, years ago, that was a $400,000 project to have the Yaquina come and dredge. It has to have gone up since then. In my opinion, there is no such thing as subsidizing the commercial fishery with the mortgage rates.
Well, Kathy, I disagree with you. They create a lot more garbage than the sport boats. Astoria charges them the same rate. The sports and commercial are exactly the same rate per foot.
One of the things that Danielle and I were talking about today is, if you haven't been to Astoria in the last several years, the city of Warrenton has all of the moorage for the trawl fleet. It's called the Skipanon River. And Danielle was not aware of that, and so we were having that conversation. And so when you see Astoria's mortgage rate, it is not a true picture of what the commercials and sports are paying to the city of Warrenton, who operate the port.
I think we also need to look at the fund accounting now that we have it all out, and look at each area to see if they're supporting that area.
Well, the basin doesn't support itself. It's a loser every year.
So I
spoke. The garbage bill, I see the garbage down there. It's on the commercial side of the dock, with the dumpsters full, two of them, and other stuff in there. Our garbage bill is up. And there's another one on that page too, and that's that charter license per person. I think we need to raise it to $75 this year. And get the right number off the boat, because last year somebody didn't pay us the right numbers, and I was told by Gary he didn't have time to go down and look at the certificates.
So I have noticed as well that when we look at the accounting, the marina never makes money, and I did talk to Gary about that, probably November time frame, and his view at that time was that we had some costs in the marina accounting that weren't really necessarily attributable to the marina, and I told him that, well, we need to fix the accounting better. But his feeling was that the marina is at least pretty close. I guess without running the numbers, I wouldn't be able to say where it's at, but it does show negative all the time. And what you see when you look at our numbers is basically the RV park bailing out the marina. I don't know if we need to further refine the accounting to get a better picture or what, but the numbers we're getting don't show the marina breaking even.
So I have a question. I want to know, this is 2017, the final data for the commercial product that came into the Port of Brookings.
Do we have that, Kathy?
No, you do not. Okay. It's on their website, but this is the only copy. So 2017, Port of Brookings and Gold Beach, $8,712,364 is what the commercial fleet brought to this community. So any of the commercial fleet that you drive away from this community is money that is taken out of the community. Danielle, please correct me. We did not make available the landings for January and February that we received from ODF&W, but it was in excess of $4 million.
I believe so.
Just for 2 months. Can you afford to lose any of those vessels because you don't think that you're charging enough for moorage?
Kathy, who bitches about the docks continually? The commercial fishermen, but they don't want to pay their fair share to fix the docks.
Well, you're real right.
Excuse me.
What? I'm not a sport boat. Put some cleats on us and we'll hold the 97,000-pound boat.
Excuse me, sir. This is a meeting for the board.
Me too. I'm part of this place.
You are.
I've lived here my whole life.
You are. But right now we're having discussion with the board and the manager.
I'm familiar with it.
I'd be interested in looking at the insurance certificate limits also.
Yeah, but I have some stuff ahead of that in order.
Okay, go ahead.
So on page 5 of 6, at the top are the commercial lease rates that Roger was talking about. And I think we need to add a bare ground rate of 7 cents a square foot.
I have a question for all of this. I just probably don't know. Do we just add that, or is that something you guys have to approve, or do we have meetings?
When this is done, it'll be a resolution and we'll vote on it. Right now it's a preliminary discussion.
It's a workshop.
Yeah, and then when this is all revised and everybody's kind of agreed, you'll bring it to the board as a resolution and we'll vote.
Okay.
So right now I'm saying my suggestion on this page at the top is to add the bare ground lease rate. I don't know if anyone wants to discuss that or not, but that's what we have been charging since September.
That's what we've been doing, yeah.
And as your interim manager on page 4, where it talks about the fuel rate, to the best of my knowledge, and Danielle and I were discussing that also today, we know of 2 ports that own their own fuel dock. One was Florence and us. All the other ports have got, it's under a concession. I believe that errors happen, and the more that you have a price structure of broke down to this, I would strongly suggest that you consider going to a 1-fee markup instead of having 6.
Does Winchester Bay not own their fueling facility?
Not according to their website.
Okay. Because I know at their facility, highway vehicles can even pull in and fill up.
I do want to remind you that for the 22 years that I worked at Eureka Fisheries, Eureka Fisheries owned the concession of the fuel, and we had a 1 markup fee. The port became the owner when Eureka Fisheries closed their doors in July of 2001, and that was the first time in the history of the port that the port became its own fuel dispenser.
So I think, again, I was just a member of the audience last year listening as the board debated this, but the rationale I heard was that we have costs And those costs are basically, we've got to send a guy out every time someone pulls in, and we need to recoup that cost. And when they're only buying 100 gallons, then it seems like we need to charge more. The other way to go about this is to have some sort of a fee. Every time you fuel, there's a fee, and then there's some lesser per gallon markup.
I think the biggest reason we have it this way is to keep us competitive with Tyree, with Carson, because a lot of these bigger boats, that they'll just have another truck on, which we're okay with that. But if we never want to, the problem we will run into is that these boats have no problems calling a truck, and they'll get four or five of them together and, you know, buy a truck at the rate that we couldn't match if we didn't allow this.
Where is that rate?
What?
The over the steel wall rate is not in here, I don't think. I thought there was a big...
You went over the...
Page 6.
Oh, it's on a different page. Okay.
It's on page 26.
So, I mean, we do make money on... It's just the reason for that breakdown is what I understand is it keeps us much more competitive with everybody else. Even when other boats fuel here, we still have to... We're supposed to appoint a person to oversee that fueling the entire time. We have to be able to monitor it. And, you know, if the pros and cons of this, just so is what I hear outside, you have your bigger boats that can hold 3,000 gallons of fuel. They get their fuel at that rate, at 23, you know, we're making 23 cents, is I think the way I'm understanding that. We have some of these smaller boats, they go crabbing, for instance, right now. Their boat holds 5,000 or maybe 500 gallons of fuel. Some of them maybe 100. So they go out, they gotta come back, they get fuel. They go out, they come back, they gotta get fuel. They're at our dock 3, 4, 5, 6 times over what these other boats are. And that's the downside of having our fluctuation in price. The good side of it is it keeps us competitive and it allows us, you know, to right. be able to keep some of the business in-house. And the only reason I'm saying that is so you understand some of what the opposite side is going to say about that.
Yeah, what you're telling me is if we went to a flat fee per fuel plus a markup, we'd be hurting the smaller boats. That's what I'm hearing.
You already are.
The way we're going about it right now, you're hurting the small. It's difficult for the smaller boats because they'll never get the discount. Charter boats, the only person I can think of, I'm sorry to use Kyle's name, but he has 3 boats. So in the heart of the summer, he's got 3 boats going out. Not one of them can hold the amount of fuel but he's got 3 different transactions, 3 different sales. He never gets our discount. He's at the dock more, but you know, that's their side. I'm just trying to make sure you guys are aware when we're discussing the fuel rates, try to make sure we're considering all sides, because it's a sticky situation whichever way you go with it. So just keep that in mind.
There is a sport boat that has a diesel in it that takes 100 gallons any given time. I couldn't even be totally empty and take 100 gallons.
I would like to see the annual profit and loss for the fuel dock from last year.
Is it in here?
Not for the entire year.
The fuel dock's in every packet.
Yeah, up to date, but he's asking for the year last year.
What was it to year to date? Let's find a year to date. It's probably in here.
And we got a big loan to pay off too, remember.
Fuel sales. 200,000 dollars to date. That's income. Fuel purchase for resale. So 197, and we paid 159. So we've made, you know, $37,000 or something.
Yeah.
We're maintaining equipment, we're maintaining training, booms.
Staff.
Staff is going out there every fueling. We're gonna have to fix this fuel dock here shortly. I wouldn't mind to look at it annualized last year, because I think we've had a kind of delayed crab season this winter and not much of a salmon season. Last year might be more indicative of normal, but it doesn't seem like we're just making a huge amount of excess here.
And we didn't have much of a shrimp season this year either.
I mean, I'm willing to look at reducing these a little bit if we're making some obscene amount of profit or something, but I'm willing to bet if we put all the expenses together, we would find out. I mean, because the number I read off was just the cost of fuel. It doesn't cover the labor or the booms or the training or any of that, or equipment maintenance. So if staff wants to put something together, some kind of reflection of the costs and some other proposal for how to charge for it. I think we should be making something on it, but it shouldn't be exorbitant.
You think you could do something like that?
Yes.
And maybe we can get the 100-gallon rate down and the couple of the big higher ones or something that are hurting the small boats.
So on this particular section of the rates discussion, do we want to direct our manager to bring us?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think she just said she could.
Yep.
Last month, the fuel dock made $1,625.27 net.
Does that include labor and everything?
Mm-hmm. Page 1 of 1 of the right here. We sold $15,000 of fuel. Labor was charged at $391.
And is cost of fuel in that?
What?
Is cost of fuel in that? Well, Kathy's going to put something together for us and bring us a proposal. We had a very long discussion about the RV park, and we got rid of the winter discount rate. And it looked to me, the last couple of months, like the RV park was doing a little better than prior years. So I can't see reinstating winter rates. I know we were going to evaluate that at this time. I was nervous about it. You guys wanted to try it, and I said, let's try it for a year, and it looks to me like it worked, so getting rid of them. Does staff have a recommendation on RV park rates? Are we too high, too low?
I would just recommend not to change them.
That's my recommendation. So leave them as they are for another year.
I'd leave them the same for another year.
And then on public records request fee schedule, we've had a couple that recently that have required attorney review, and I think we need to add in here attorney review at cost, because we don't have that reflected.
Where are you at, John?
That would be page 5 of 6, under 8, Section 8 Administrative Fees.
He wants to add a line item 5 under mm-hmm. A?
Yeah. And then it says, according to the law, our public records requests are supposed to actually reflect what things really cost us. I really doubt it's costing us $20 for port bylaws and codes. And then it says copies of non-standard documents are $20. That could be something huge and expensive to copy. So I'm not clear I like either of those real well.
Is that a flat fee or is that per hour?
Those are flat fees there.
Danielle, what would be an example of a non-standard document?
Well, let's say somebody came in and asked for an engineering report or something and it had drawings in it or something. I mean...
I agree that depending on what you're asking for, it could be much more than $20 to create. Yeah.
I would suggest, so under one, copies of public records per page, I would add 8.5 by 11 black and white. Sound recordings I'm fine with. I think that reasonably reflects what we're doing. Copies of port bylaws and codes. Is that really costing us $20?
Some of the other places are higher.
It's on the web, but if they want a hard copy and we print them a hard copy.
It shouldn't be that hard to...
You know, by the time a staff stops what they're doing, though, and go and does that, and then gets back into the rhythm of where they were working.
All right, if you're comfortable with it, that it costs that, that's fine with me. So I would just remove, I would say copies of non-standard documents should be something like... We'll estimate it somehow that we'll give them
enough. We'll just look into what a fair going cost is. I mean, are we just going to go off from, how are we supposed to look into this? Or are we just supposed to write in what you're telling us to write in?
Well,
I'm just wondering how it sounds like to me we need to look into, see how much this stuff really actually costs versus trying to throw a number at it right now.
Just charge it by the hour.
Well, non-standard documents could have significant reproduction costs. So I think they should be request estimate or something like that. Or individual basis or some. That's what I'm suggesting.
I think requesting the estimate, that way staff can say, okay, it's going to be, even if they just then look
pages,
at
it
per
could
page.
Take us a half an hour, it could take us 2 hours to pull together.
Or we could say time and materials, something like that.
Pretty safe way to go about it.
We're almost to the insurance.
Okay.
I got one more thing above it.
Okay.
On page 6 of 6.
Well, I'm still on 5 of 5.
Okay, you got stuff there?
Yeah. The property ground event use, you know, that was really involved last year to come up with all the rates. And I would like to see those rates remain the same for another year.
I would too.
I think we met with, didn't we have a meeting and all the event people came in and we agreed to leave them the same? I thought we already decided. Yeah.
All right, now you can move to 6 of 6.
Okay, top of 6 to 6. So we have a new waiting list policy with some new fees for background checks and that sort of thing that needs to be incorporated into this in that section. Danielle is shaking her head. She knows what I'm talking about.
I have one question about this, and this is, I guess, just me asking. Are we, giving up some of our right to freely move boats as we deem fit by having a paying customer on a waiting list, does that make...
Why would you think that?
Because if we have an open slip and we decide we want it to stay open, do we get to do that, being that we have an open slip and we've been taking somebody's money that's been waiting on one? Do we running into an issue by taking people's money? Can we still have the same freedom we have?
I think if you aren't interested in assigning a slip that looks open, it's not actually open, it's closed.
Okay.
That would be my view. If you have a reasonable
reason
for...
I'm just asking for it. It's just... To me, it just seems like if we're saving a slip, or if we want to move a boat from this slip and put them in that slip because we think it's going to work better, but we have paying customers waiting on a transfer list or anything else. If you guys don't think we're running into a problem, that's fine. I don't have a example. I'm just bringing it up because I...
So we have a certain number of slips that we reserve for RV park people, right?
I believe so. We have two.
So those are not leased. We have other slips that we've closed for various condition reasons that are not available to lease. It's up to the port management to decide when a slip is available for lease. And then when it's available for lease, you go to the waiting list and say, whose turn is it?
Okay.
That's my feeling. But if port management says there's some legitimate reason I'm not leasing the slip.
I don't have a legitimate reason yet. I'll come to you when it happens. Yeah. if and when something happens. I don't have something. I'm just wondering about, we say we can move boats wherever we want, and I'm just asking because I don't know that once we start taking money from people and making them pay annually to stay on this list, what rights to available slips and stuff do they?
Port management still has the final say on what slips are available and what aren't.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to come to the board for that.
No. All
right, who wants to talk about insurance?
I think it's too high.
I do too. I think it was last year, and
I'd like to see it go back where it was.
I would too.
If I remember right, we were one of the only ports that decided to make it 2 million. Mm-hmm. Most ports are only 1.5.
Well, I think the ones that they put in our packet aren't even anywhere near that. But I think, as I recall, Mr. Saban presented to the board last year and felt that the rates at that time were adequate. And he's our adjuster or agent.
They were adequate before we raised them, correct?
That's what I thought he said.
Yes, Danielle?
Are you talking about the lease tenants and the general liability?
Talking about the...
Vessels.
The vessels.
Because what Mr. Saban said, as I understood him, and maybe we want him to come back and tell us again, but as I understood him, he said, you're going to be covered for the difference on your policy. It's not like you would be out of pocket. And I think a lot of fishermen came up and said, this is very burdensome. So. No, I haven't heard any complaints from the lease tenants, the moorage vessels, I think.
We heard a lot of discussion on that last year, as in the audience I did. You know, there was an awful lot. So I would definitely have to see that go back to where it was.
You're in agreement?
Absolutely.
Roger, do you have an opinion?
You gonna drop the sport boat too? From a half mil?
It was the commercial that was. No, was it?
I don't recall what they were last year offhand.
Mine's been a half million for since you required it. And it cost me a whole bunch of money.
But that was many years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, where it actually changed for sport and just brought it up. And I remember there was a lot of talk about that also. And it ended up only costing very few dollars. Right. But when we went up to the $2 million for the...
That's the tennis, not the vessels. The vessels are $1 million, and 500,000.
Did we not go up to $2 million? Isn't that what the controversy was last year?
The commercial vessels are $1 million.
Right.
What were they before?
I believe it was 500,000. I think the court just required $500,000 of minimal liability with the port named an additional insured across the board for everybody.
And then last year that changed for commercial going up to $1 million. Along with charter.
We tried to raise a commercial $1.5 million, $2 million, and back down to $1 million, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the very beginning, everybody was $500,000.
Let's take a look what it was, because I'm remembering $700,000, but whatever it was before it got changed seemed to be okay.
And then let's check with James.
Yeah, let's check with James.
And are the lease, the tenants, is the $2 million is that a good average fair going number?
I think that's good for them.
No. Everything goes down, everything should go down.
Well, that one didn't go up.
Yes, it did. Oh. It went from $1 million to $2 million.
Mm-hmm. That's where we made our big jump.
That's the only reason I bring it up, because I'm pretty sure it was lower.
Well, let's have James
make a presentation again.
Yeah. And then give us the rates before they were on both of them, the leases, tenants, and the mortgage and vessels, what they were before they changed last year.
So do we have questions from staff before we move on, or do you know what we're looking for?
Well, I think between everything, what she has and I got, we'll put you together something.
Anybody else have anything on the rates before we move forward?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You guys went right past me.
Sorry.
I'd like to see the charter boat, $75 a person. The other thing we need to look at, I wish Andy was here because he's better at this than I am. We have all these guide boats show up for the October season that use the transit dock to load on. They pay nothing extra. They're making $500-$600 a day out there. And his deal was, I know him and I have talked about a fee, the flat fee for each guide boat that uses our launch ramp, unless they take a slip. I'd like to see something done that. And last year I tried to raise the charter to 100 and we got back at 50. And I know when a certain large charter operator paid his, he only paid for about half his spaces, and I don't know if he ever paid the rest of it or not.
He did.
Did he pay him finally?
Well, on the guide boats launching, it seems to me that we have a problem, because if we know it's commercial use on that launch ramp, we're going to be in trouble with OSMB.
That's not entirely accurate.
No, okay. They can launch.
The restrictions are well defined as no. They do not want you taking a commercial fish product, a fish or a crab or anything commercially, up the launch ramp or up the docks. The commercial boats, the smaller boats, there's a length restriction to it, but they can tie up to it, and they can go up. They can use the bathroom. They just do not want the product brought up those.
But the fee is set by OSMB, right? $5 and
for the launch rate. Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah,
because we got in trouble when I was on the commission. It was raised. I had to pay it all back.
Well, we could take it off. We don't want so much of their money. They give us so much money a year.
It's like $4,200.
$4,200. So if we make more than that, by raising it to $10, then we're okay. That's reading with Kathy, yes it is.
Okay.
Been a long time since you've been on the board.
I'll look into a few different options possibly that we can have for outside charter boats when they come in. I understand what you're getting at. I'll come up with something then.
Talk to Andy about it. He's been around the different ports and what they charge.
Okay, I can compare things with other ports and see what they do for other guided that might help.
You are on the board.
Yes, how about we talk to the State Marine Board and not Andy? How about we go to the horse's mouth who sets those rates and not...
They don't set the rates of ports.
They do for the long term.
For the long term, Roger.
I want to butt in here for just a moment.
No, Daniel. Fees,
excuse
Daniel.
Me, you need a clarification, Angie, and you let this gal talk and you didn't stop her.
No, I did
her.
Not.
Yes, you did. You most certainly did.
Daniel?
Angie, if you're going to be chairman and president of this committee, you need to show impartiality. You let her speak about the
Daniel,
insurance.
Daniel, I'm going to warn you one more time, and I'm going to ask you to leave. Thank you.
What a bunch of bull the way you run me. I'll tell you right now, you are inappropriate in this chair, and I'm taking myself out because you need to leave. Commercial is anything that is for profit. So a guide boat that launches off that dock is illegal.
I'll look into a few other options that we have and what other ports do.
Thank you.
Any more on the rates? Roy, do you have anything else on rates?
Rates, no.
Okay. So I appreciate staff getting the rest of the information for us to make some good decisions. All right, subcommittees.
So these subcommittees, there's two of them. One's for dealing with legal issues and one's for engineering issues with the BC and the Pack Choice docks. We now have an interim manager. They were basically put together to allow us to fill in the gap there. I'm going to move that we disband both subcommittees.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
As far as an update with the Pack Choice dock, we have a fence that's actually here finally that's going to go all the way around it. I know I've been saying the stuff will get moved. Our telehandler we've had a few different issues with, but we just got it back today again, and we'll get that stuff off the dock, and then that whole thing will be gated off, and can honestly say it'll be a closed deal until we decide what we're going to do with it.
Danielle, can I have a roll call, please?
Yep. Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes. New business, Harbor Master position.
You'll see in your packet that Travis has supplied his resume. In the month that I have been here, if it weren't for all of the staff, they've held it together for the month prior to me accepting this position. And we have to have someone in the field with authority. And as you see in the packet, as far as I'm concerned, Travis fits the bill as Harbor Master.
I like to agree with Kathy. I worked with Travis, or watched Travis, 9 years, Travis? Eight years? 8 years, work around here, and he's an excellent equipment operator. He's great with people. He's very talented as a handyman, very knowledgeable of welding, mechanic, and wrenching, all the skills that it takes to know what a dock is, what a cleat is, You know, Travis is, he's been under a couple managers now. And I think it's time we have a legitimate position called the harbor master, and let that personnel be able to hire, fire, run crews, and work with the manager, directly with the manager on day-to-day operations. And I would highly recommend Travis Webster as that person of interest.
I just have a bunch of questions, but I'm going to start with some of what you said, Roy. Mm-hmm. So I don't see anything in these duties or responsibilities about hiring or firing. And I'm concerned that I don't see some things in the duties and responsibilities that I might expect of this position. Things like planning, strategy, budget, preparing documents, working with contractors, working with to get contracts in place, working with the regulators, stakeholders, you know, maintaining training records and that sort of thing. So I think there might be a lot more to this. I also think our port ordinance describes some duties of a harbor master when we have one. And I'm concerned a little bit about the position requirements. Don't really say anything about knowledge of port operations or construction methods. And I'm concerned that the physical and mental demands and work environment aren't up to legal standard. Has this been reviewed by Mr. Coffey?
Yes, it has.
Okay.
So he didn't have any problem with it, but he said that if the commission wanted to add duties, that was understandable.
Okay.
This was in the, this has been a document within the port since 2004.
Okay, so this is an existing, you're not asking us to adopt this position description then, this is an existing.
This is an existing description of when, way back when we had a harbor master. I believe that was Dan Thompson way back when.
Okay. What is Travis's current compensation, and what are we proposing to compensate him?
Okay, also included, there is the in the packet was the sheet that talks about the price or the compensation. This is called operation supervisor, but the port had no job description of operation supervisor. That is what Travis almost makes now. He's currently at $29.44 an hour. This position is rated at $33 an hour. It also calls in the description of harbor master, Travis would have to give up overtime because he becomes a supervisor. And when you are classified as a supervisor, you automatically have hiring and firing capabilities. That goes along with the title of supervisor. He would not give up any of his benefit package. So that would bring him with the wage and the benefit package to just over $92,000 annually. He would have to be a salaried position. And Travis took all of this home. He discussed it with his family and agreed that his family could survive. he might be giving up some overtime, actually maybe a lot of overtime. But as it says at the very back of the job description, the harbor master's position may require more than 40 hours a week to perform. This position is considered to be a supervisory position for the purpose of federal and state wage and hour law, and no overtime wages or compensation time will be a part of the compensation package, except under extreme circumstances.
So this has been in effect since around 2004, but Mr. Coffey just reviewed it recently?
Yes, last week.
Okay.
with the understanding that you may choose, the commission may choose to add more duties.
Well, I have sort of respond to emergencies, maintain training programs and records, works with regulators, stakeholders, and agencies, et cetera, prepares documents, contracts, and works on planning, strategy, and budget costs. Are you, those are things you want to be into, right? I mean, that's
those
what
are the things that I'm currently doing, right?
That's what I figure.
Yeah,
so
he's currently doing them.
So my feeling is that probably, I don't know that the board's ever approved position descriptions. I would say you guys could revise this internally to add those things if you want, and we can just approve giving Travis the position. Is that, and the salary, is that make sense to you guys?
I agree with that, Jan.
Make a motion.
Well, I'm going to wait till others have discussed. I haven't heard from down low.
Roger, did you have anything?
I just hate to see us create a new position before we have a new manager. That's my only problem.
Well, I'd like to see someone get credit for what they've already been doing when we haven't had a manager.
Okay. I agree. I make a motion we promote him to harbor master.
Second.
And is that at $33 an hour?
I don't.
It's at the salary. It's at the, if it had to be broken down to hourly, it's in this classification, it's called $33.
I think because legally, but when you pay somebody hourly, when they go over a certain amount of hours, you have to pay them time and a half or whatever. So by putting me on a salary or putting that position to a salary, you're, it just
so
is
the just yearly salary then of $68,640
exactly
plus benefits.
And as I read, it would only be an except under extreme circumstances where he'd be able to claim the hourly rate. And I don't know what constitutes extreme.
Right. It would be in the labor laws.
Well, I'll second Roger's motion.
Any further discussion?
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Walker.
DNR equipment repair proposal.
That's Travis has been dealing with that, mm-hmm. And you saw his handwritten notes.
Yeah, so he just recently has this $2 million of liability insurance. I personally know him. He's a good guy. The guy doesn't want to work out in the pouring down rain when he's tearing apart a motor. He has his own truck. Everything can be moved. You know, there's no designated spot. He just like to rent and pay us for a 20 by 20 spot, whatever's available in our shop for him to use, to take apart a motor. It's small mechanics that he works efficiently. And I know we've gone down this road, but in my opinion, this is an okay move that's not gonna lead to any other problems that we've had in the past. He takes everything with him every day. Picks it up. I say that we approve that.
Well, we need to have a lease in front mm-hmm. of us.
Well, right.
But we couldn't go forward with a negotiation until you gave us the go-ahead.
Didn't we have somebody in there before in the corner?
Yeah, and it's not going to be different terms.
Okay.
Different
okay.
terms. We're learning.
Roy, do you have anything to say on this?
I know the people, and I agree with Travis. They're very efficient. They're very reputable in the community, yes.
Well, I'd like to see you bring us a lease to the company.
I agree. Commissioner's reports, Mr. Thompson.
I have nothing.
Mr. Davis.
I just continue to thank staff and thank Kathy for taking the job on. Thank Angie for going and contacting her. the office staff. I think we got a great budget committee officer with Kim on board. And it seems like out and about in the port, Travis and crew have things pretty, you know. I asked Travis, I said, who's directing you guys right now? Where are you getting your direction from? And he's still going off of a list that was over 100 items strong. I think the board's aware of that list. And I see the fence is going up on the embankment, erosion problem places. So hopefully that gets done. I see a lot in all the wake of what's going on. I still see a lot of positive going on in the port. And I think it's, you know, it's going to go on. But I really, really appreciate our interim manager taking this on, because I don't know right now if anybody would even apply for this job. So, and staff and board, we had a great meeting tonight. Thank you.
Commissioner Barbers.
Yes, so we all probably got an email from SDAO on risk management training, and I just wanted to let you know that I have signed up for the one in Florence. I think that is March 15th. But I'm not offering or looking to carpool because I have stops on the way back. But I do think it's one where you can, it's just 9 to noon, so I think you can leave early, go, and come back the same day. Don't need a hotel, and it's free to us. And I would encourage any staff that has anything to do with the duties involved, like human resources or that sort of thing, to consider.
What's the date on that?
March 15th.
So, yeah, March 15th, and then they have another, there's four of them total, but two of them are not very close. There's one later, like in May in Klamath Falls, if that works out. But I think it's Thursday, and I would encourage board members or staff to consider attending. And
what's the location, Jim?
It's Florence, and it's at a fire hall, and I can probably tell you, if I look at my calendar, the name of the facility. It's I didn't put the facility in my calendar. Sorry.
We all got an email.
Yeah, you have it. So anyway, I think we all went to ethics training when we first signed on, but some of the issues we're dealing with now weren't covered in that. And this, I think, will cover some of those. So I think it's important. And that's all I have. I would like to say thank you to the staff.
All right, meeting adjourned.
Off of the record, I want you to know that Travis